You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
For a few glorious hours, the Indians were a 500 team for the first time since Game 4 of the regular season, until a loss to the Tigers in the back end of Sunday's doubleheader dropped the club back to one game under the break-even mark. Welcome to MLB.com Extras Cleveland Indians. Matt Wehmeyer joined by Indians reporter Jordan Bastian. Jordan, thank you for your time on this Monday afternoon. And like we said, the Indians split a twin bill with the Tigers yesterday and now stand 70-71, 4.5 games back of that second wild card. Jordan, in a strange way, do you almost wish the Indians did not have to play that second game yesterday, considering how hard it is to sweep doubleheaders and that they could have entered Monday with that 500 record that they were chasing for so many weeks?
Well, I tell you what, after sitting through two rainouts, I think they were thrilled to be playing baseball. They reached 500, you know, between games. We got to talk a little bit about that with Terry Francona and Cody Anderson, the pitcher, briefly before they were starting up game two. That kind of has been sort of this point that they just haven't been able to get to. They'd get within three of 500 and go on a losing streak. And then they were getting up to two and getting within one, and it was nice to see, you know, them finally kind of get that monkey off their back, reach 500, even though it was for a half hour. So I think that is something that kind of could be a little bit of a sense of relief for the team, you know, and going forward here, they can kind of continue to play the brand of baseball they've been playing since June, which is strong pitching, dramatically improved defense, and that's been a combination that has really helped this team go from what we thought was going to be purely an evaluation period for the final 2 months of the season to a team that is, you know, forcing people to talk about them in the wild card race. So it's going to be an interesting final few weeks here, and I think we're a little surprised that the Indians are in this thing as much as they are right now.
And Jordan, you brought up a good point that everybody, fans included, thrilled to play two games on Sunday, given the wet weekend we had prior to that, rainouts on both Friday and Saturday. What is the plan with the rainout Saturday, considering that there are very few off days remaining between now and the end of the regular season?
Right. The Indians only have one off day coming up for the rest of the way, and the Tigers, I believe they have three, but the Indians are playing on all three of those days. The Tigers also have another doubleheader on their schedule coming up next week, I believe. You know, so it's just kind of a complicated situation. Detroit doesn't come back. Cleveland doesn't go there. It's a situation where it could wind up being one of those games tacked on after October 4th as an if-necessary game. If the Indians continue to claw their way back into the wild card race, maybe that's a situation where it needs to be played. They tack it on to that last game, that day off for baseball, and squeeze it in there. Otherwise, I mean, really the only other alternative would be for the Indians to have a doubleheader with two opponents, where they would play the Tigers maybe in an early game and then have their regularly scheduled home game against another team that's in town. That scenario hasn't really been discussed yet, at least publicly. So I think right now we're kind of in a holding pattern in terms of when they could make this game up.
Yeah, definitely a wait-and-see situation on that for sure. Jordan, rough outing in Game 2 on Sunday for Trevor Bauer. He continues to go from one extreme to the other in his last half-dozen starts. A lot of Jekyll and Hyde going on there. Just three innings on Sunday in Game 2, giving up six runs. Is there something you can kind of pinpoint, either in terms of mechanics or approach or maybe a little of both, that goes awry for Trevor Bauer when he struggles this poorly?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at Game 2 in a vacuum, one thing Terry Francona was quick to bring up was just the really unusual circumstances that were thrown into it. And we even saw Randy Wolf, the Tigers pitcher, although he's not having a great year and his numbers aren't that great. I mean, he really struggled and only went three innings as well. But, you know, you had the doubleheader, you had the two rainouts pushing back guys' schedules by 48 hours. Then you had Bauer, who has a pretty regimented preparation for his starts routine. You know, that's kind of thrown off when you're in a traditional doubleheader and you only have a half hour in between games. You know, and then he had a couple of things happen within the game where a bloop single, a little dribble around the infield, and next thing you know, that turns into a big inning for the Tigers. So there were some sort of circumstances on Sunday that were going against him right out of the chute. That said, as you mentioned, you know, you look at his last seven starts, he's gone four innings or fewer in four of them. I believe his ERA is over seven in that span, and he's kind of been alternating quality starts with just really awful starts. And he said that's been the most frustrating thing for him right now, is that when that it's not like a middle ground. But when it's going bad, I mean, he's not even giving his team a chance to win. And right now, wins are, you know, at a premium for this team as they're trying to claw back into this race. So he's feeling the pressure there. And the Indians have got to be feeling the pressure of, you know, can we continue to throw this guy out there every 5 days when he's struggling like he is? They've been working with him a little bit on trying to work lower in the strike zone. The guy who really prides himself on pitching higher in the strike zone and elevating. They're hoping that he can maybe work down first and then elevate by design. That's something they've been working with him on over the last few weeks. Obviously, there's been some turbulent and, as you mentioned, Jekyll and Hyde type results from him over the last month, 2 months.
And, Jordan, given the inconsistencies of Trevor Bauer, as you outlined, and also Carlos Carrasco kind of rounding back into form since returning from the DL, the health of Corey Kluber becomes just that much more imperative. What is the latest on Kluber, and when could we see him back in action?
Well, he threw a bullpen session on the Friday that was rained out, came back the next day, continued to do long toss and agility work. And, you know, as far as the arm goes, he's healthy. It's just he's still feeling it a little bit with the hamstring, according to manager Terry Francona. So it's truly a day-by-day situation. The one thing that you could say could be a silver lining here is the two rainouts pushed everything back. So while it may have affected some other pitchers, it could be beneficial in terms of setting up the rotation and trying to buy time until you can get Kluber back in the rotation. They're going to need a starter for Thursday, just given the days off and the rainouts and the way things stacked up with the doubleheader. So they're going to need a starter for Thursday. Francona hasn't been ready to commit to Kluber for that one yet, but that could be a day that Kluber goes in. And if Kluber does go in, then maybe it opens up some possibilities with the off day coming up on the 21st to maybe skip a guy in the rotation or reorder things around in light of, as you mentioned, Carrasco coming back from an injury and being on a limited pitch count out of the gates and other elements like Bauer's struggles. You know, they really, after they get through Thursday, can kind of reorder that rotation, and we'll have some flexibility there. And hopefully that can be an important element for the Indians as they continue to try to map out how they could possibly cut this deficit smaller.
And you touched on Carlos Carrasco as we are speaking. On a Monday, he makes the start tonight, his second start. Since coming off the DL, he will oppose the Royals. As you mentioned, he was on a pitch count in his first starts since coming off the DL. Is that going to be the case again tonight, or does Terry Francona try to extend him a little bit more?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't imagine them letting him go out there and throwing 115, 120 or anything like that. You know, he only threw 58 in his first outing. He was cleared to throw, I believe, around 75 to 80, but, you know, he just didn't look like himself on the mound, had gotten into some trouble, and was kind of getting into a part of the lineup with the White Sox where Francona felt it was just made the most sense to get Carrasco out of there and let him focus on the next start, as you mentioned, Monday. So when he takes him out the next time, I would imagine that there would be maybe some restrictions, but not to the point where he's going to be pulled at 60, 70 pitches, unless similarly to last time, if things weren't going right or he just didn't look the same. So hopefully that start, let him get his feet wet, kind of get the feel for his arm again and get out there and be the type of guy he was before that DL stint, which was pitching at a level that was one of the best pitchers in the American League over the last couple months.
And another guy that was at a high level for a long time until recently, Jason Kipnis was one of the hottest hitters in baseball early part of the season, but it's not been the same since he came off the DL in 23 games, hitting just under 200. Do you feel he is still feeling some ill effects from hurting his shoulder about a month ago, or does he kind of insist that the shoulder's fine and he's just kind of slumping right now?
Well, I mean, him and Brantley were both dealing with shoulder issues, and we've seen Francona kind of rotate them in and out of the DH slot. You know, while Tito has said that the shoulders aren't really much of an issue right now, you know, he's obviously trying to protect those guys by doing that, and maybe that is an indication that they aren't totally 100%. And I think it's fair to say they're not totally 100%. Not sure who is in that clubhouse right now. So, yeah, I mean, maybe the shoulder's bothering him. Maybe that's not as much of an issue. It could be just the guy sat for 2 weeks, and maybe he lost a little bit of that consistent day-to-day rhythm that he had working for him so well prior to going on the DL. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, this has kind of been the first time this season, you know, we've seen Kipnis go through a prolonged slump of any kind. And it's dropped his average all the way down to 302. So, I mean, that shows you the kind of year he's having, that, you know, he can bat 198 over almost a month, and he's still hitting 300. I mean, that's how valuable he's been to the Indians team this season. Fortunately, other guys in that lineup, especially some of the newcomers, guys like Lindor, guys like Abraham Almonte, even Chris Johnson acquired in early August trade with the Braves. Some of those guys who have been in have been kind of performing better than maybe expected, or at a high level in terms of Lindor's case. You know, that's helped pick up some of the slack for a guy like Kipnis, who has been going through some slumps.
And, Jordan, just to wrap up here, Lonnie Chisenhall, a highlight reel catch on Sunday. Is that the best one you've seen in person this season?
From Lonnie, for sure. I mean, that's – and I think what's incredible about that one and why it stands out so much is just when you know the background there. I think we've seen some pretty incredible catches and plays throughout the season from some guys, especially when you think of Lindor up the middle, some of the dynamic plays he's turned. Highlight reel stuff, but I think with Lindor, just when you remind yourself, this is a guy that 2.5 months ago was in AAA as a third baseman, you know, and a third baseman who wasn't really going to make it back to the Indians as a starting third baseman. You know, it's pretty incredible when he makes a play like that. I think in 6 short weeks, he's already leading the American League in defensive runs saved among right fielders, which kind of speaks to the level of he's been doing up there. You know, you don't want to start saying it's an Alex Gordon type transition just yet, especially when they're not the same type of hitter. But in terms of the defense, the transition has looked so smooth. And I mean, that was an incredible play that he made out there in the outfield.
Yeah, no question. A lot of oohs and ahs from the fine folks here at MLB.com when that happened on Sunday. Indians reporter Jordan Bastian, a pleasure as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds good, Matt.
Thank you. MLB.com Extras Cleveland Indians, Matt Waymire signing off.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.